Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug. Limu and I always tell you to customize your car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. But now, we want you to feel it. Cue the emu music, Limu.
Save yourself money today. Increase your wealth. Customize and save, we say.
That may have been too much feeling.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
It's the morning of the most important day of your life. You wake up refreshed and ready for your big day when you look in the mirror and see the zit to end all zits. Stay calm. Mighty Patch Pimple Patches absorb gunk in just 6 hours and shrink the look of blemishes in one use. Leave Mighty Patch on while finalizing florals and you've still got plenty of time for full glam. Shop Mighty Patch at all major retailers.
Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast. Elliot Chirpbark, James Seltzer with you. Elliot,
what's up?
Tired. I'm in a bad mood.
Who would have thought?
I am super annoyed today, pal. Well, I'm sad. I'm angry. I'm annoyed. I'm tired. And it has nothing to do with the Eagles.
And what's crazy is that? All those things could describe the Eagles right now.
Yeah, but
you're
honestly,
not even talking about
honestly,
them.
Here's what I want to do. I want to, one sec, I want to start with this because as someone who, you know, went into the Philly season, you know, with a somewhat of a, you know, wait till October, you know, I'm not going to get my hopes up. And then
the hopes weren't high.
The hopes were not high. And then totally just gave myself over to them after the trade deadline and Deron and Bader and the, and believing and how they respond after Wheeler and all that. And then just to get kicked in the freaking teeth like this, I just want to say, I know that they just lost a tough game and all that crap, but like, thank you to the Philadelphia Eagles for actually winning us a freaking title. We see how hard it is to do. Like, it is not free. We're seeing with this repeat thing with the Eagles. Like, I said it on the post game pod. I think I underestimated because of the Chiefs and they just did it, how hard it is to go back and win it. But like, they did it when the moments mattered. Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley, all these guys who are pissing us off right now, they freaking did it, man.
Yeah.
They kicked the Chiefs' ass in the Super Bowl. They kicked Washington's ass in the championship game. They tore through the playoffs. They played great when it mattered. Like, and it, I want to be able to, like, as annoyed as we're going to get with the Eagles this season, and after that game, you know, I felt like I was, like, annoyed with the game, but they're 4-1, and it felt like that was a lot of people not even feeling that, like, for a second today, as the Philly season is on the brink through no fault of anyone but themselves. Thank you. Philadelphia Eagles. Thank you. Well, from the bottom of my soul, thank you.
I've probably said this on the pod, but I mean, so first of all, it's just tough for me to think about any other Philly sports team and not see it through the lens of the Eagles. It's just how I view life.
You've covered the team for 15 years. You know?
So like,
it's your everyday life. Like, exactly.
It's really
how you see the life, period. Like, it's not just sports. Like, you'll use the Eagles as ways.
Yeah,
a prism. For, yeah, exactly.
So it's just so, so hard to lose the finals and come back. And I say finals, like World Series, Super Bowl, whatever. Like, the Eagles bouncing back and winning in 2024 was just so unlikely. And it didn't really have to do with them. Like, look, I think when you lose the finals and then you come back, like, obviously you can look at the roster and say certain things need to change. Players don't perform. But like, the guys that almost won the World Series in 2022 on this Phillies team, like, they are coming up small. For sure.
Big time.
Right. But like, they're still the same guys. Like, they're still the team that brought it so much joy in 2022. It's just so, so hard to come back. And it really, really puts into perspective what the Eagles are dealing with, both the accomplishment in 2024 and this season. Like, the team that we're frustrated with this year, the coaches we're frustrated with, the players that we're frustrated with, the offensive linemen, like, they're the same guys.
The vast majority.
Won the Super Bowl.
The vast majority.
Right, vast majority. And then, even Petullo, like, Petullo was on the coaching staff. Like, I know his job has changed. And honestly, like, I have a Petullo thought that we'll talk about in a minute.
You're getting ready to defend like, your guy.
No.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm getting closer to jumping ship. But it's not, but we'll talk.
No, I know. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to get into it. Look, let me tell you, excited to not talk Phillies
exactly,
for a minute. Yeah. You know, as we're talking Phillies this moment. Yes.
So I would say that, like, watching the Phillies, clearly they're not going to win the World Series. Now, save this for when they win game 5.
Hey,
you never know, right? They're not gone. But like, it just is crazy the Eagles came back and won it in 24.
It's impressive.
And to your point, the way they did it, too.
It's
like,
impressive.
The baggage you carry, you can see it when the Phillies are at the plate. Like, it's
again,
just,
Jalen still has the thing on his lock screen, the Chief celebration we've talked about. And you so can see it. Like, I don't care what anyone says. Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber are tight at the plate. Like,
for
they're not competitive
Bryce
at bats.
Dead inside.
Bryce looks lost.
Yes.
He looks like he doesn't know what
Schwarber
to do. And look, Bryce is turning 33 this month. Like, it might not just be like how hard it is. It might also just be that, you know, he can't do it anymore and all that. But regardless, I definitely think that, like, you look at this team and it just, and look, the Harper thing, and that's a thing that's out there now too. And look, he deserves to be ripped.
For sure.
Like, all those people out there are like, and you're
just
not
like
talking
after the Mets.
And you're not talking
you
to us because we are always giving Jalen Hurts credit and all we did last year while he was on. We still, so we're not those people, but like, I did the Mets, like Bryce Harper absolutely deserves to be ripped. Like, I'm sorry. I know he's had moments in the past, but he has been, like, that was, he has been a zero
and he
in
is
his
getting
games, and he's had it's, real shots
yeah
you know?
And he is getting ripped.
And he's the leader of the team.
Yeah. Now, the other thing I would say Phillies Eagles related is Jalen related, which is, it's, you're just seeing that if your best player doesn't play his best, the rest of it truly doesn't matter. Like, you can get by, and the Phillies honestly,
and I think in baseball more you can get by because,
agreed, baseball it's different obviously, like
Bryce, basketball, football, if your best player doesn't play well, you're done.
Agreed. But the point I'm making is, like, the bottom of the lineup was the rally last
night. Yeah, no doubt.
The starting pitching has been out. Like, Lizardo was unbelievable.
Awesome.
I was watching it last night and thinking, this is one of the best Phillies playoff performances
he
of,
was
like,
awesome.
This era, right? But Bryce has done nothing. And so,
and Schwarber, too. You got to put both. Schwarber's the MVP of the season.
I agree. Schwarber should be in there. I do. But I do think it's important that Bryce is the headline.
I agree
with your overall premise.
Especially
like,
because
Schwarber,
like,
was
I
so
agree
good
Bryce
year.
Is more famous and all that. But, like, if you ask anyone on the planet who is the Phillies' best player this year, it's Kyle Schwarber.
Agreed.
You know,
agreed.
Other than maybe Christopher Sanchez, if you like a pitcher.
Yeah, batter. But with Jalen, like, yes, he has an elite roster. He has an elite organization. It just doesn't matter if Jalen doesn't play well. It just doesn't. So, like, this is why all last year, me and you gave him credit for the wins. But I think we're honestly maybe the only two people on the station that said he's the most important player on the team.
Without a doubt.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, the flip side of that, though, is, you can't cry for the best player when everyone else is doing their job and he's not. And like, Bryce is not doing his job and they're losing because of it. Full stop. Bryce had two chances last night to change that
big
game.
Chances
and did not do it.
Yeah,
right?
Uncompetitive at bats.
And to last Jalen, Philly's point is, like, say what you will about Jalen, when they needed him last year, he stepped up.
Well,
was he great in the regular season? We could debate the term great, whatever. But when he had to have it, he has had it every single time.
Well, it's
much.
And I love that you did it early this year, whatever, or the offseason, but I loved you bringing up McNabb in comparison to Hurts and how we spent all of McNabb's life, who was a stud in the regular season, a stud at winning games, and won a ton of playoff games compared to a lot of quarterbacks. But because he couldn't get done the biggest moments and didn't win at all, like, he has a stain on him. And we do not give McNabb the credit he deserves as an Eagles quarterback.
He has the same.
Totally.
Yeah.
And he did. But McNabb, like, McNabb won playoff games too. Like,
sure,
McNabb got to the Super Bowl, got to multiple. Like, but he did have failures in those big moments. And yet Jalen, who still wins in the regular season, just doesn't do as pretty as people want, comes through and plays his best in the biggest moments. It's exactly what we say we want out of our athletes, and it's exactly what we're getting mad about the Phillies about, right? Like, we're mad at Schwarber and Harper right now because they're not coming through in the biggest moments. And yet, with this group, until now, we've given them leeway from past moments that didn't even win a championship in a way that this Eagles team that just won it last year doesn't seem to get.
Agreed. Now,
fascinating.
Now, the other thing, too, is, like, it also puts into perspective a little bit, like, I'm just personally, like, I'm always, and we say it all the time, I'm going to ride the roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm fine with it. I've accepted it. I understand people that don't. Like, you are not as much of a roller coaster guy. I am, like, and I recognize there's positives and negatives to both of that. But I do think when you watch the Phillies lose in the playoffs, it does put into perspective that the Eagles have so long to go in this season until we truly can define what this team is. Like, we can talk right now about where they're at, and we will. But, like, for the Phillies, and I didn't buy into this, and I'm a little sad I didn't, because, like, it seemed like it was an awesome regular season. Like, I was in on Bader.
I had a really fun regular season, and now it hurts more, but I had fun.
I did hear a lot of, like, this team's different. Like, this is their year.
No, and they are.
Just, it never is until the playoffs.
And not
it
just that, is. That's what makes this the Phillies thing the worst, is that it's exactly what everyone expected.
Yeah.
The bats going closed, the relievers, Sixers. You know, it's like unbelievable. Topper making bad decisions. It's unbelievable. It's like a same script.
It's me saying on WIP, like, they're different this year. They have fourth quarter comebacks. Embiid's been awesome. And then they lose in the play. Like, it is what it is. Now,
well, it's even the way they lose the Phillies. I'm saying it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know,
now that all that Jalen defending having been done, like, I rewatched the game. And to my point about the best player needing to play his best, like, Jalen wasn't great against the Broncos. And I think that's why they lost the game to a degree.
I think it's part of it. I mean, but look, again, if AJ doesn't stop on that route, it's a 24-6 game or whatever.
Yeah, so I see that play a little bit differently.
I don't think there's any way to see it.
Well, can I let me explain my
sure. I'm intrigued to see how
he slowed up. Full stop. If he runs 100%.
Joe just said full stop. You should usually stop talking when you say full stop. No, okay.
Yeah. But, like, if he runs fully the whole time, it's probably a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, like, number one reason that play didn't work ultimately is because I agree with you on that. I do think there is credence to the fact that he got bumped off his route. Jalen held onto the ball a little bit. And I do think AJ ultimately, I don't completely blame him for thinking internally in his head, this ball is not.
I don't care. Like, you keep
to me,
playing,
that's
man.
But no, I know. But to me, that's like ripping players for not running to first base.
I don't think it's like that. It is different. It is different in that you're not running to first base during the regular season times because I don't want to get hurt. That's it. That's the only reason.
But most of it is because they know they're going to be out. Like,
but,
that's but most
I'm
the
not
reason.
Okay with that. Like, again,
but we accept it.
We just saw it in the if the Dodgers had lost Teoscar Hernandez in game one, like, it was game two. Lizardo fumbled the ball.
Right.
He would have been safe if he ran. Like, he would have been safe, and he was out.
Now,
like,
that's a playoff game.
And that's a playoff game. Yeah. I agree. But football games are all playoff games. Not quite, but you know what I mean. Like, that's my point. In a regular season baseball game, every day, 162, you got 17 of these things. Everyone matters.
Yeah, I just think he didn't think the ball was coming his way.
Right, yes. Right. Too bad,
so I think
buddy.
It's built up frustration.
I get it, but it's like, I can't excuse it.
Agreed.
And look, I agree. I don't think Jalen was great in that game.
Jalen is getting back into a bad habit, in my opinion, of holding on.
Well, here's the issue.
He's holding it, and it's not egregious. It's like a tick, and it throws everything off.
I think it all comes back to the offensive line right now. Like, the offense,
that's part of it, too.
I think
that would be a reason to get rid of it quicker.
No, but I know, but I think the offensive line is not, he's like not giving him the time that he's been used to or whatever, and he's adjusting. Like,
then why is he holding on to it more? I would think that would be more like he's bailing.
Well, I think part of it, too, and I know you fight against this, but, like, we are 5 weeks into the season now. And every single person who watches tape, who is an all 22, says the Eagles run the same freaking routes. They're stagnant. They don't layer routes. They're not using parts of the field. Like they're basically having guys just run like the same routes without any sort of purpose or thought to the route. So, like, at a certain point, like, guys aren't open for Jalen enough. Like, that's a real thing
so
on the tape.
I I obviously, as we've discussed, I disagree with most of that. Like they, I've said, they run a simple offense. They do.
I know.
I would like, just love, but again, I need those people to look at the offense last
layering
year.
Layering routes makes sense.
What do you
right?
think? They're not layering.
They're not though. This is what people are
but there's obviously
on tape.
A reason for it. They're not sitting in the, I think they're not that sitting they in the are, coach's
that,
office.
I, but that's the problem. I think that they have had a philosophy here for the most part of our guys are going to win. Our guys, guess what? They ain't winning enough. Like, you got to scheme them open. Like I'm sorry. Every other coach does it. Like, yeah, Peyton here, schemes guys open. We thing, just like, saw it. Like, how many throws did Knicks have towards the sideline or wherever where the guy was just kind of standing there with, like, a guy 2 yards away from him? Boom. 14 yards. Boom. 8 yards. Boom. 10. Like, it's, like, no problem for every other team in the league.
But they can't even run their own plays right now. But they're making all types of mistakes. But, pre-snap plays. Guys well, running
so
to the same
place.
So that's
a huge issue, but, too.
So that's the point I'm making where it's, like, we want them to run a more complicated offense. They can't even run
Buddy,
the offense.
I'm not talking
there.
More complicated. I'm talking just layer routes. I'm talking, like, just don't run the same routes every single play.
Yeah, but let's just, you know, think logically here. Like, do you think, honestly, the coaching staff is
yes.
doesn't see these things all
yes.
22
Look,
people
Nick,
see?
This has happened multiple times with Nick already. Like, whenever, and again, this is part on Nick, part two, I blame both of them. But whenever Nick has not had a good offensive coordinator or someone he trusts to just run the show, whether it's Tom or Shane Steichen, the Brian Johnson time, and now, it's been the same freaking thing, man. The exact same thing offensively. Like, the same types of issues. A lack of creativity. It's simple stuff.
But it was at last year, too.
But again, at least Kellen Moore was using motion. He was doing these different things. He was at least, there was some difference to the playbook. But on top of that, also, like, maybe guys were winning more. AJ Brown looked better last year than he did this year. Like, so, like, all I'm saying is it's one thing when it's like a couple people being like, hey, you know, this offense looks simple. Every single person who studies film and talks about film has said this is a stagnant, simple offense that they need to fix.
So I'm not disputing that it is a simple offense. I'm not disputing that. My only dispute is, now your point about maybe the players...
When it's not working,
then maybe
change.
The players aren't as good as
when
they used to
be. When it's not working,
like,
change is my right. point. I get not changing when you got a 2,000-yard rusher and you're doing what you need to do. And you're not doing that. You can't run the football. Your offensive line hasn't been playing as well. That's my point. Like, yeah. I get it that it's a simple offense and execution and stuff, but the offensive line isn't as good as last year. Saquon might not be as good as last year. AJ might not be as good as last year. So, like, they might be injured. They might be
Jalen.
Jalen. So, point being, like, get creative.
I agree.
Scheme guys open. Do things differently than what you've been doing.
So, I agree with that. Now, to be fair, they've also run shovel passes, variations off the
push. A couple.
Push.
Here
I'm
and
just
there,
saying, like, yes. So they are doing things, right?
But not in their base stuff that they're doing. And not just that, the simplistic stuff. I mean, the numbers on throwing out a shotgun and running out of under center are mind. They're running 85% of the time he's under center.
Yeah.
They're throwing like 80% of the time he's in shotgun. Like anytime a defense knows what you're going to do is a disadvantage to your offense. Like, you got to mix it up.
So I agree. And this is where I was going with my Petula thing.
Yeah, get it. Let's get to it.
Like,
let's do it.
Okay. We're going to agree. We disagree on, like, the underneath part, but the top of the umbrella, like, ultimately this is on Petullo, like, and Sirianni, to be fair, mm-hmm. but, like, the offense is not good right now.
Yeah.
And it is the players. It is, like, ultimately the players need to perform, like, the illegal shift, right? Like, AJ makes that mistake and now you can argue it's a ticky tack call, but, like, that's a mistake.
No, I thought that was a penalty. That, like, was when
and the play before where AJ slows down, he gets called for a false start. And so it's first and 15. They have a 7-yard run to start a drive to Saquon, which is what everyone wanted in the second half. Brett Toth gets called for holding. It's first and 20. So, like, I do think
Brett Toth being in the game in the
first. Yeah, exactly. Season. So I think the players on the field are not performing well enough.
Agree.
Full stop.
Agree.
Right.
Agree.
But I think they're the problem. But it is the coach's job
to find a solution.
Fix the problem. And, like, I am so worked.
We're
up.
We're saying the exact same.
Exactly.
Thing.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I just disagree with you about the schematic.
No, I get it. Yeah. We're ultimately
we're
in
the product on the field is bad, and that is on the coaches.
Yep.
Right. Like, it is on Nick and it is on Petullo, and I think it's two different reasons. First of all, I didn't even like the Petullo hire. So it's
no,
funny.
You didn't. I know. It's so funny. Like,
and it's playing out.
And I don't think many people did. Like, there were not many people.
No, people tried to be excited.
Right.
About
but
it,
I don't
but
think
nobody was like, this is such great news.
What a great hire. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, not a single person said
and they
that.
Look,
other than maybe Nick
they
Sirianni.
Look like you would think they would look with no fresh ideas. Yeah. Right. But, like,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But I also think so. Petullo, like, and here, we're going to forward ahead a little bit, but I was thinking he's not going to get a head coaching job, right?
Like, oh, no. Right? Yeah. Are you thinking he could be the longtime OC here if he can
figure
it out?
I'm saying, like, they're going to have a tough decision to make. If the rest of the year plays out like this, firing him is going to be a really tough decision.
I know.
Because he's Nick's guy, and you're then bringing a new coordinator.
Yeah.
Again.
No, you're right.
So, like, that is another downside.
You're right.
Like, that's a tough decision.
No,
make.
It's a great
and
point.
And we'll talk about
and
that
use,
later.
And but. Use the whole, like, I mean, we can't use the excuse for Jalen every single year of the new coordinator thing, and not use
and
it for
self inflicted.
Well, so. And not just that. But also not use it for the first time ever coordinator to give him a chance. Like, well, if you don't
Agreed.
Give a guy yeah. who's never called plays before, never a chance to learn that if you believe in him. And right. I remember when Lori hired Sirianni, he had that line about I'm not excited about the coach you are now. Yeah. I'm excited about the coach you're going to be. And he was dead right about it. Right.
Yeah.
Like, look, how much has Nick grown since he's been here? Like with Petullo, if they believe in him and he might not be able to call plays, like early returns, not great, but like, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
But if they believe in him as an offensive guy, as his mind and all that stuff, then you should give him 2 years at least. Like you should give this guy a chance to learn the job that he's doing.
And the tough thing is in 2023, there had to be a sacrificial lamb, right? So like, I get why they fired Brian Johnson, mm-hmm. but you could also make the argument, like give this dude another chance.
Same thing, same thing.
Like they liked Brian Johnson.
Same thing. No, I fully agree.
Your team, adjective, used to describe an individual whose spirit is unyielding, unconstrained, one who navigates life on their own terms, effortlessly. They do not always show up on time, but when they arrive, you notice an individual confident in their contradictions. They know the rules, but behave as if they do not exist. New team, the new fragrance by Miu Miu, defined by you.
Membership means more with American Express Business Gold. Earn 4 times membership rewards points in your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, including eligible U.S. advertising purchases in select media and U.S. purchases at restaurants, including takeout and delivery. What are you waiting for? Get the card that flexes with your spending every month. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-gold. Amex Business Gold Card. Built for business by American Express.
Imagine fast hydration combined with balanced energy, perfectly flavored with zero artificial sweeteners. Introducing Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Unlike other energy drinks, you know, the ones that make you feel like you're glitching, it's made with natural caffeine and electrolytes, so you get the boost without the burnout. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free Hydrating Energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
So Petullo, the offense is bad. We can debate all the reasons. We've talked about it, but like that's on him. Like he is the offensive coordinator.
And Nick, I think you got to say both.
Well, so this is my next thing.
Okay.
So here's my thing with Nick. And ultimately why I kind of think he's the main problem so far this season in a way. The team is just sloppy.
Yeah.
Like what are we talking about here? This line of scrimmage thing is living rent-free in my head. Like you wouldn't even believe. Like
you mean not getting the play?
Not getting to the.
It's unbelievable, dude. I mean, it's just like, and not, we're not even talking about just the advantages for the defense. If you know they're snapping on one every time, you can just
exactly.
get off.
Like it just shows they're not
tight.
Not
they're not, yes.
They're not clicking, right?
I always think about your Philly special thing where you're like, the Philly special
exactly.
was said they didn't practice at all, but that team was just, they were firing on such a high level that they could just execute.
And I think we kind of got like our first clue as to what it is when Jalen was asked after the game about the play getting it on time and he waited like 6 seconds
yeah,
and then he was like, it's my job to execute no matter what.
I appreciate the accountability, but like he's letting you know.
Yeah, he's trying to let us know, right? So, and also,
and that's another thing about a first time play caller. Like we're talking about, like that's something you're not used to getting.
It makes sense.
Maybe he's not making decisions quick enough and getting it in quick 100%. Enough.
100%. There has to, like, now he called plays last year to an extent. I know it's different, but the only point I'm making is like, there is clearly a difference for him between what he was doing last year,
no doubt,
and this year.
Well, and like the call play, like maybe they let him call. Like Steichen was the offensive coordinator. Call, I mean, right. Not Steichen. I mean, Kellen Moore was the offensive coordinator and calling plays. So, like,
agreed. So, like, I just think with Nick, his whole thing is tough detail together, and like they're not detailed, and so
and they're not together either. Like again, the fact that the Jalen AJ thing, we talked about this at the pod, but and I think it, by the way, I thought you were freaking fantastic asking AJ questions at his locker. Yeah. I thought you asked the right questions.
Although my voice at the beginning sounds like
I thought you were great. I thought you were great, but I thought the question about did you go up and talk to him after was such a good question because he just goes no,
nope,
and it was like a and it, almost like of course I didn't when it's like. Of course you should.
So
what are you talking about here? Like this is such a like.
I actually didn't take it as an of course I didn't. I took it as of like a,
I don't want,
I didn't want to.
No, that's right? My point. Exactly. No, I was saying like he's like of course I didn't like it.
Right.
Like that, no, I know that's my point. I'm saying like he's like no.
Right.
And like that is such a sign of where they're at. And to your point, and again, like I know it's on them and their relationship. But this you can't be Nick Sirianni and be Mr. Culture. Love each other, fight for each other, and all that. And that's what matters most. And I want these guys to be, you know, he always says, he's like, I care about them becoming men more than I care about winning. And what they're, because that'll all lead together. Like, you can't have that and have this massive issue between two of the five most important people in your building. Like, it's on you.
And now we'll talk, like, good time to bring up the Kempski report.
Yep. Shout out
to
Jimmy.
So, Jimmy Kempski, my guy, tweeted out, I guess reported is a better way to say it.
That through Twitter.
Yeah. Jalen, AJ, and Saquon had a meeting for multiple hours and it was positive. Now, no one else has reported on this yet. So exclusive by
Saquon
Jimmy.
Just bringing them together.
But honestly,
I love it.
So
that's
I had heard,
that's leadership. If that happened, if Saquon was like, let's get together and let's fit, like, that's leadership.
So I had heard last year when AJ and Jalen had their whole thing, Saquon like pulled the team together.
That's freaking
that
leadership, man.
And did it. So like, I'm not surprised.
Tell what a leader he is.
Agreed. Yeah. Like, so I'm not surprised Saquon did it. But we'll see what comes from it. I'll be in the facility later today. We're going to ask him about it. So like, so we'll see what they say. And, but I'll also say this with Jalen and AJ, like, again, the friendship thing, it's icky. We've been over this, like, I'll believe it when I see it.
Me
like,
too.
It's good to know they talked, but also last year they did the little dance after and like, they were not cool again. So we'll see. Right. But to circle back to the Nick and Petullo thing, like, I can only blame the players for so long. Like, I agree with you. The players are tired. The players probably aren't playing as well as they used to. But ultimately, the coach's job is to get the best out of the players. And they're not getting out of the best out of the players. So Zach Berman had this stat, and it was, like, alarming. So I'll read the whole thing. So he goes, quote, the most befuddling stat about the Eagles. They've had three and outs on a league-high 47.2% of their offensive drives. Number two on the list is Tennessee. Number three on the list is Cincinnati. It's beyond comprehension for the offense with this much talent to lead the league in this category, which obviously...
Yeah, he's right. It is beyond comprehension.
A little commentary from Zach.
I know. You don't see
I know
that.
You don't get that often.
He's editorialized that.
All right, so the next part of this. It's only been five games, but consider this. No team has had a worse three and out percentage since 2005. In the 2005 49ers went 4-12. So here's the deal.
Wow.
Here's the deal.
Bro.
I do.
Look, and again, like, you know, it's only week five and all that stuff. Like you said it before, there's a long season left.
Yeah, like that. Give them time.
That is an alarming statistic.
And here's the other alarming stat. I think it was prior to this last game. It was prior to the Bucs game, I think. They had like the lowest plus minus like point differential of any team that was undefeated through 3 weeks. And that team like lost every game the rest of the way.
Well, yeah, they went 5-11. They were 4-0 and they went 5-11.
We're starting to get into a territory of they're going to be bucking history if they continue to win and turn around and win the Super Bowl. Like, we're starting to. I don't think we're there yet.
But
the point I'm making is like, things like this are popping up more and more.
I don't think this is sustainable. Like,
agreed. They have to play better.
I don't think they will get that far unless they play better.
Agreed. And so, like, dude, Tennessee has a rookie quarterback. Cincinnati has a backup
quarterback. Jake
Browning,
yeah.
So while the players clearly need to play better, the coaches are not getting the best out of this product. Full stop. I'm saying it all the time now. It'll be the name of the pod. Full stop. But like, the coaches are not getting the best. And whatever that reason is, whether it's the layering of the routes, like the whatever, right? And not to mention this other thing that I think is a major problem that they're dealing with. They're terrible on first down. They're terrible on first down. They're 31st in the league in yards per play on first down.
Wow.
And I think they're eighth worst on how long of a third down they face. They're facing on average like a third and eight. Like, talk about setting yourself up to fail. When on first down, you're constantly behind the sticks or you're getting 2 yards. Well, now you're in second and seven. And so now it's like, do you run? Do you pass? You could pass, but if you don't get it, now it's third and long. You could run. Like, so they're just, I don't often agree with this analysis people do, but like, I don't think they have an identity.
Yeah.
And I think there's like a vagueness to that, but I think it does fit them right now. Like, what are they good at?
Well, because the thing that has been their identity in the Nick Sirianni era, they haven't been able to do. Like, they have been a running, tough football team in the Nick Sirianni era ever since, was 2-5, 3-6. They figured it out.
Ever.
And they that's what I mean. Yeah. Since they started, and then he, like, and they've won. Like, ever since Nick Sirianni started winning here, it was when they started running the football consistently, pounding, using the best. And the offensive line and Saquon partially as a result, who knows if it's more than that,
well,
but like,
he's
definitely
got the knee thing.
Yeah, definitely as a result, if nothing else, but like, they haven't been able to run the football at all. And look, I mean, this last game, like, I don't care if Saquon was hurt or whatever. And I know we're going to disagree about this because you said on the air, but like, the one run is unacceptable. Like, I get it that they were in second and 15 and stuff like that, but like, run it on first down. Like, run the ball more. Like, you have to
can I give you my opinion?
That's why. Yes, go ahead. Yes. All
right. So again,
I mean, one run.
And this is, look, this is like
17-3.
A theme of the pod. We agree. We just disagree.
Different ways. Okay. I like this.
I agree. You can't run the ball one time.
Okay, good. Good.
You can't like that. It can't happen.
But
like, I
even
also,
if it's AJ Dillon, my point, like, AJ and Will Shipley run the ball if Saquon can't. Like, I don't care.
And also enough AJ Dillon, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I was excited about seeing him in the, like, he has played way more than I thought he was going to. Honestly, he's playing more than Shipley,
which is weird. I know
it does make me think they're backing off Saquon or his knee hurts or something, or Saquon's been bad in pass protection. But like, way too many times I look down on the field and I'm like, that is AJ Dillon out there. But regardless, here's my thing about running, and it's kind of like for the whole game. And I think with the post,
because they can't do it.
Well, with the post game pod, we were understandably like mostly negative.
Yeah,
I do think now when you take a step back, like, they passed the ball in the first half in that first series of the third quarter. So after the first series of the third quarter, they were up 17-3. Jalen had like 220 yards passing. They were well on their way to like 300 or 400. And by the way,
and they had some penalties of some callback. Like, if they, that Devontae play,
I know this sounds like coping, but they were literally very close to like a 400 yard day passing.
And even then, we talked about it. Like, it's not coping. Like we talked about on the pod, like, any of these things, whether it's the Devontae catch that gets nulled by the penalty, AJ stopping the route, like, all these little self-correctable
details,
things.
And that's
one of them hits and they win.
Agreed. You know? Yeah. Like, the Dotson catch was almost a catch, right? Like, Goddard and Dotson on separate plays, obviously, like, they were like off by an inch with a long pass. So they were very close to 400 yards passing. So the point I'm making about running is, through the first possession of the third quarter, like, they were passing the ball well. They come out the next possession, they throw it twice, they're like getting positive yardage, and it's understandable why you throw it. Like, you're throwing at a high level at that point, and the running game's not going well. So then I think what ends up happening, they get a penalty or something like that. They come out, next possession, first and 15, AJ misses the AJ, right? So at that point, it's second and 15. Like, you could maybe run it there, right? But like, that's not a great running down. And then I think they don't get anything. It's third and 15 again. We don't have to go through all the plays. Right. The point I'm making is,
I get your
is,
point. They were in not advantageous situations to run, and they weren't running the ball.
Correct.
Well,
I understand there is an argument for just run it anyway, because you need to kill
clock.
How
about this? Can I throw something at you? Some design run for Jalen? What a thought.
But I think Jalen might be hurt.
They must, like, because we've only seen him once.
I remember if I said this on the pod.
No, you
like,
haven't.
On the half, during the game on Sunday, he spent the whole second half like massage gunning his calf, stretching, playing with it. And by the way, this got overlooked too. It's the 3 yards are the lowest amount of yards he's ever had in a game as a starter. That's how many rushing yards he had. He had 2 carries for 3 yards. Now he lost, or it was
you're right. He wasn't running at all.
But he lost some yards.
Yeah. He had the 2 runs that ended up being sacks.
Right. So that hurt him. But like, only 3 yards.
That's crazy.
And by the way, no rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
Right. So like, I think he's dealing with something, and we'll talk about this on Thursday when we talk about the Giants a little more, but like, not a great time to be going to MetLife. Like, terrible stadium.
Oh, I know, dude.
Leg injuries.
Honestly, if they had won the Broncos game, and they
did. You could almost convince me to play the backup.
That's what I was going to say.
Tanner.
To go 5-1. Yeah, I don't care. No. You could maybe even beat them, you know?
Yeah. dude, the Giants are hot garbage.
Oh, but we should have never not made them the F out of your team. But yeah,
I mean, it's just like,
I think Jackson Dart's fine. Like, I think he's probably gonna end up being like a mid-level, like, you know, 20, somewhere between 10 and 20 type quarterback, depending on how much he progresses.
Right.
But yes, he's giving them some excitement in life. But like, what a joke of a franchise. It's
and
great.
Now to like the running thing. I mean, I agree. It's a bad thing that they only had one carry. I agree. Like, that is not good. I'm just saying they kept messing themselves up to the point where it's like, where are you going to run it?
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where they needed to score. So it's like, now you're not calling plays just to run it. You're calling plays to try to score. And they had been throwing the ball relatively well. I still think, man, like, Jalen is just a tick slow. And it's something you hear about, like, you want to bring up the film guys. Like, they bring it up too, right? Like, so I think he's just getting into bad habits while holding a little too late. Talk about what their identity is. The best play they run is like that 5-yard crosser to AJ when Jalen decides to throw it is unstoppable. They get like 5 or 6 yards every time. So they're just a mess right now. And the thing I'll say about the Giants game is I think it's actually a good benchmark game for them in a weird way. Like
can they go just beat up
in 2023? They went to New York and got demolished. Yeah, now it's a short week. Thursday, and I get that.
So it makes it a little harder, but I get your point.
Like, let's look, if they lose this game.
Oh, buddy.
Now they have the mini bye, and they've been very
especially with the Philly season probably ending during the Eagles. Yeah, like the most
imagine?
Like,
yeah,
like they win tomorrow night. Three, we stay up late. They win, and then they no show during the Eagles game. And then the Eagles lose, and we have the worst Friday ever left.
So yeah, I think losing to the Giants would be that'd be bad. A massive. It'd be a really big red flag.
I will not be
positive
now. If the Giants,
the only like counter I would give to that is the division might not be super good, and so like. I don't think Washington's that good.
No, but they 3-2, 2-2-1 for Dallas. Like, I agree with you, but all of a sudden, like, you don't have a huge division lead anymore.
Yeah, if you lose, that's true. Yeah, now, if you win, like, you're feeling very good about
it. Even then, I mean, Washington only a game behind you. Dallas only a game and a half behind you. Like,
yeah,
I'm just saying,
you're right.
You know?
I'm wrong about that. Yeah,
so
I don't think you have
I'm
to
not
blow
scared
them
either
out.
Of those teams. In reality, I do think the Eagles. Talent alone are just a better team than those two teams, especially Dallas. Dallas's wins are against the two New York teams. So I know that tie against the Packers was nice, but I'm not. Dallas can move the ball. Their offense is real.
I think going to New York,
their offense is real.
Going
to
Dallas,
their defense is hideously bad. Like, so I just don't think they're a real contender. But to your point, yeah, the Eagles could lose in Dallas.
Yeah, like Dallas put up 40 points. Yeah. Like, the Eagles putting up 40 points right now would feel like a miracle, right? So. Yeah, I think the New York game is a good, like, let's see how bad this is.
Yeah.
Like, I think they could win it. And it's a tough, like, here's what I'll say. The players talk about this game like it's very tough. Like, they really don't like going to New York and playing the Giants. And for whatever reason.
Well, they probably hate the turf.
Yeah, they hate the turf. It's an ugly place. Yeah.
And look, it's hard to get up for the team. The Giants, like, you watch the tape. It's not like, it just feels like
Yeah, you know? No, I agree. So, we'll see. But that's my big thing with the Giants game is, like, let's just see how bad this is.
Yeah, well, one other thing that's going to hurt them, and I don't know, maybe it'll help him because he's been struggling so much when out there, but Landon Dickerson, it looks like he's going to be out multiple weeks with this injury. It was reported.
I haven't seen this.
Oh, I believe Jeff McClain just reported it. Rhea did it at the end of the show. It was like 9:45 or something like that, that it looks like he's going to be out multiple weeks with the injury, which makes sense. It looked like that type of injury coming off the field.
And I hate to say good.
No, but I'm saying like, I think he probably needs some time off his feet. Yeah.
Like,
no, I think I do not think Landon Dickerson was helping them by being out there. And I think, you know,
he was
injury.
Playing bad.
But, Brett Toth, Matt Pryor, like, it's not like, I agree with you, Dickerson not helping, but I don't know that the replacement helps either.
Yeah, so EJ Smith made this point. I think it's a very good one. Like, we talked so much about how all these touches are going to impact Saquon. The offensive line also had a super tough year. A lot of running plays, a lot of physicality. Jordan Mailata said that it took him, like, 2 months into the offseason to feel like he normally does.
Yeah, you said he's still kind of like,
He's been laboring all, like, they've honestly.
Makes sense when you think about, like, obviously going to the Super Bowl and turning around, you have a shorter offseason, all that, but, like, they also went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
They,
like,
played probably more
played
football.
They played a lot of football.
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are probably the only team they haven't played as much.
Exactly.
Because they had the other run. But even that, it's only like 3 games.
Yeah.
It's
not, and look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs look like they're feeling the effects of it too.
Yeah. Did they lose last night?
Yeah.
Wow.
31-28.
You see the Trevor Lawrence play?
Sure did.
Funny.
It's great.
Shit up.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah. So. I mean, they just got it. Like, they got to turn it around.
Yeah.
But it's getting to the point.
I agree.
Like,
the vibes are bad. Like, it's like,
the vibes are bad. I agree with that too.
And you know, I'm a vibes man. Like, I care about
it. Feels like 2023. It just does.
No,
we
you're
can
right.
all deny it, but
no, it does. It
the
does.
Reasoning is different, but the
and the record's better. And I think the I do think that saying I don't think it will get as bad because the defense and Vic raises their floor. I agree with that. But I get it. It's like the vibes, the way they're going about their business. Like it definitely feels more like 2023 than 2024, even with the issues to start last
What's
year.
Crazy is in 2023, the defense was bad for sure. The offense was good, right?
Oh, like, yeah, for
so
a while. At least.
This might just be the counter. Yeah. Like the defense might be good this year,
but again,
and the offense
I think I'm
might
talking
be bad.
About like it fell, but the offense was bad at the end. Like at the end, the blitz, and that's why
they were all
you.
Bad.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At the end, they were all bad. Like, I don't, unless there are injuries, like with the talent, just like honestly, with the linebackers and the cornerbacks you have, like, I think the floor is higher. That's all I'm saying. But I agree with you. Like, again, if you had to ask me right now, what do I think is the most likely outcome for this Eagles season? I would say like 12-5, win a home playoff game, lose to the Lions or something like that. Like that. And again, I think there are many. Way too soon to me. But if you had to say in your gut, what do you think this is? I think it's a season where there's some disappointment. Because if they get 12-5, that's not awesome the rest of the way. What's that? Like 8-4 the rest of the way. It's okay, you know, but it's not like I think they're going to be a good team, good enough based on the talent they have. But I think they're going to, like, if I had to bet that their flaws will come back to bite them before they can, you know, get and where they want to go. If I had to bet.
To kind of wrap this up like full circle with the Phillies all year. People said they're a bad base running team that makes dumb mistakes.
And you're right. They lose no doubt. No
bad
doubt.
Bad base running and dumb mistakes.
You're 100%
and
right.
And the Eagles have now 5 weeks into the season of doing dumb stuff. So, like, I think if they just clean up these details, it'll all come together pretty quickly. The question is this team just an undisciplined, bad detail team? And if they are, that's a big problem. I think if they just clean that up, they'll be fine. Like, the layering of the routes and all, like, they'll be fine, right? But I think it's the dumb stuff that gets you. And how did the Phillies season essentially end last night? Dumb stuff. Like, you know, sending the whatever. We don't have to go through.
You're right.
But,
you're right.
So that's my big thing. Like, they just got to, and that's on Nick and Petullo. They got to clean up the dumb stuff. And that's the first step to turning this around because they can play better on offense. We saw on Sunday, they threw the ball better. It didn't matter. Didn't matter because they made dumb mistakes that cost them. So that's the first step of becoming the Eagles again is just cleaning it up.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Like, execute, play smart football, stop making dumb penalties, stop getting taunting penalties. Yeah. Like, just, I totally agree with you. Like, to your point, I think if they can do that, I think that's the thing that raises their floor so much higher because talent, Jalen Smart's not turning it over. Like, you can win games that way. We've seen it, you know? Yeah. But, yeah, look, my biggest, honestly, with all we've talked about, all the my biggest concern is still the offensive line health and production.
Yeah.
You know, out of all this stuff done, this, like, because again, as bad as they've been, I've still seen Nick clean this stuff up before. And I think Nick is a great head coach. And I think that he will fix enough of it to a point where I think that, like, maybe they aren't as buttoned up as they've been the last couple of years, but I think they will get there. This offensive line thing with the injuries and, like, the maybe guys just, like, maybe Cam Jurgens, like, I know he's playing, but maybe the Super Bowl and the back surgery and playing, like, maybe it's just too much. Like, you know, like, I don't, if Jordan Mailata feels the way he feels, how does Cam feel, you know?
Or Lane.
Or Lane, who's 35 years old. So, like, that, if you had to ask me right now, what's my biggest concern, it's that.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by White Claw Surge. Nice choice hitting up this podcast. No surprises. You're all about diving into tastes everyone in the room can enjoy. Just like White Claw Surge. It's for celebrating those moments when connections have been made and the night's just begun. With bold flavors and 8% alcohol by volume, unleash the night. Unleash White Claw Surge. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavors. 8% alcohol by volume. White Claw Seltzer Works. Chicago, Illinois.
At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high-quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby! Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
All right, let's get to final thoughts.
All right, so I feel like I had a really good one, and now I can't remember it, but I have a few in my notes that I haven't gotten to. So,
okay, good.
Couple simple ones, nothing that we're going to like fight over for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think I might have done this one. Every time you rent something on demand, I think it should go down a dollar. So if a movie's $7 to rent, mm-hmm. or $6.
Oh, and you rent it for
and
a
I rent
second,
it the second time, I think it should go down a dollar.
I think it's
and then
great
the next
take.
Time it should go down a dollar.
It's a great take.
And then eventually, if you are renting a movie six times, it's free for you after that.
So
I
love this take. I generally agree with it. Like, I think kids are the one except like kids will watch things.
Agree, but that's times only fair to the parents then.
Right. But that's why they have the purchase option, right? Like that's agreed. On the parents to know, hey, my kid's going to want to watch this a lot. I should probably just spend the $24 and buy it.
I agree
it
with that.
You know what I mean? So, but I don't hate it as a general take.
Now, maybe it could be once you reach the purchase price.
That's not bad. I think that's but I mean, again, you know.
I still think, though, like if you rent a movie I'm three with or four you.
Look,
times,
I generally
like it's costing
disagree.
You money. You know, like they're just letting you watch it. Yeah. They're not shipping the DVD to you like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I don't hate it.
I actually have a question for you.
Sure.
Are you still in on Task?
Oh, yeah. I'm curious. One episode behind. I've never gotten the impression that you like it nearly as much as me to begin
well,
with.
Well, we haven't really talked. Two thoughts. One.
Because I think it's phenomenal.
Well, I was going to say, you saying the second episode is maybe the best episode you've ever seen, however you worded it.
No, I said
such
it was
a me take.
It was the best episode of television I had seen in a few
years.
That's
what I meant, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was such a me take. Like, you were very excited and you were like, this is the, right? I think Task is good, for sure.
Yeah,
we
clearly disagree. I still think, so I'm four episodes in. There have been five so far.
There are
five, right?
Yeah.
So I'm four. I haven't watched the one from Sunday through four episodes. I think it's one of the best shows in a while.
It's very good.
I think it's phenomenal.
I think that actor is super, super good.
He's amazing.
He's the one I've been.
Tom Pelfrey is brilliant.
Is that the guy with the black hair in the beard?
The like main Delco guy.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is a sequel to Mare of Easttown.
Yeah, he is the best part of the show.
It's very, very. It is good. I was surprised how much you like it.
Yeah,
that's
really
just
like
what kind of floored
well, I don't,
me. You don't normally fall in love with TV. Like,
well, I don't
much
normally
more of a
watch
movie
much
guy.
TV. Yeah. And I actually, well, it feels more like a movie than TV. Like I said, you know, it's like,
I agree with that. Yeah.
I think it's part of the reason I was in on it. Like seven episodes. Okay. I could do that.
Yeah. It's basically a really long movie.
It's brown, you know, but yeah, I really like it. Look, I don't like it as much as I like All the President's Men,
I
like the most.
I want to see that. Yeah.
Well, you should. It's about journalism.
I want to.
Oh, you said you want to. I thought you said I would.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of the Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
Oh, yeah. It's one after another. By the way, Tucker is not in here right now, but he's watching us.
I don't know why.
I texted him. Internet issues. So he's doing it from his desk. Tucker loved it. So I won by after
I'm sure it's great. I can't wait to rent it on TV.
See it in the theaters. It's so worth it.
I'm just being honest with you. I like, you know, Kristen does not like going to the movies, and I'm just not a go by myself to the movies.
I'll go with you again. I'll see you a second time.
Maybe. Probably not, but maybe.
All right. See you in the movies.
I'm shocked you can find 4 hours to go to the movies. I don't know how I would do it.
My schedule's clearing up, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, that's a good point. Yeah. All those nights you thought you were going to be there.
What I really do is I go like Monday at like noon. You know what I mean? Because like I don't, you know, that kind of thing. But I forego a nap is usually the way I can go to the movies, which I don't do that often. I did take Zoe to another movie, though. We went to see the Gabby's Dollhouse movie.
Is this what you and Tucker were texting about?
I don't think so.
That would be maybe shocking because it's a kid's movie.
We were texting about the One Bell After Another, the good movie Tucker went to see.
You guys are in the group chat texting about like something.
I don't know.
Nah,
not this. Okay. Either way, Gabby's Dollhouse, Not bad, actually. As far as like,
is it like animated? Kids, what is it?
Part animated, part not. But it's like a kid show.
All right.
Better than I expected. Kristen Wiig was like the main star of it, and she was hilarious. So that was good.
Yeah. No.
Sorry. Here's the most adorable part. When it ended, Zoe turned to me and went, "I wish it could have gone on forever."
Wow.
I was like, "Oh my god, I'm melting."
That's what you should say to her too, when Zoe. Task ends.
Yeah. Yeah, just turn
Gabby's her. Way better than
that. Yeah. All right. I'll give you one. This is actually an impromptu final thought because Tucker and I were talking about it last night. But
Oh, you're at the game.
At the game. Yeah, we're at the game together. Shout out to the guy who did the anthem last night. I believe his name was Jamal Anthony.
Yeah.
It was a really good anthem. But I turned to Tucker as he was finishing or whatever. And I really appreciate when people like really know what their voice is and know their limits.
Yeah.
And like, it felt like such a professional anthem. Like the guy just, he nailed it. He didn't do any, he just like nailed the anthem. And Tucker was like, "It should be about America." I'm like, "You're right, Tucker. It should be."
Wow.
I really appreciate when someone in those, cause like, I get it. You're singing the national anthem in a baseball game, especially a playoff game. Like that's your moment too, right? Yeah. Like that's your
cool
chance.
For you. You want to highlight cool yourself. You. Yeah.
But when someone doesn't try and like, overdo it and they're like, "This is what I can do and what I get." I just thought it was really good. And so, I appreciate a professional approach to
I think
this.
When the so I see a lot of anthems, obviously.
You see a ton of anthems, yeah.
Like,
and I'm sure you've seen both sides because we see
it,
right?
You'll see people ones and I've go seen good for ones, it. Yeah. Like when the anthem hits, it's pretty good.
Like it's a banger.
Like, you know,
and they get the fireworks
yeah,
popping.
Exactly. It's pretty good. Yeah.
It's pretty good. All right. We will be back Thursday, assuming I am okay after staying up all night to probably watch Philly's season end.
Oh, right. We'll so wait, they're doing Wednesday and Thursday back-to-back?
Wednesday, 9:08, Thursday, 6:08.
Why do they do back-to-back games one and game two?
Well, they did for the AL. Each year it switches. They will next year for the NL.
Is it was a just, Sunday thing?
It's a Sunday thing, and then not one of them games all day against
9:08. Like, I'm sorry, West Coast. Like, it is what it is.
Bro,
you just got to deal with it.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm like,
East Coast time dominates the country.
It's a real bummer for your boy over here.
Yeah. Dude, that game's not going to be over until 12:30. That sucks for you.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be at the stadium.
Yeah. No, I won't. Yeah, I won't be. You're right. At least I won't be at the stadium.
You do it from home?
Yeah, I have a Comrex.
There you go.
Inside radio jargon there. All right. But also, Thursday.
Post game.
Figure it out.
Yeah,
Philly is us. Yeah. I think it will be. Well, it should timing maybe work out where
is it going to be tough for you to watch?
I'll definitely be able to do the post game. So I'm not on post game for WIP until like an hour or 45 minutes after the game anyway, because Murph does his thing. So we'll totally get it. So Elliot and I, as soon as the whistle ends for the Eagles game, and I have two TVs, buddy, how am I going to watch it? Come on.
Well, I just mean, it's tough to pay attention to both.
I'm not gonna,
I don't
yeah,
blame you,
I probably will not be quite as locked on the Eagles as I normally do. You will carry the pod on the way I'm the detail. I won't fight you on the details as much, probably.
As long as the Eagles have good
but no,
details.
look, you know, the Eagles could be up by 21-0 by the time the game starts.
I was thinking we could do it in the third, maybe.
Wouldn't that be great? Either way, as soon as the whistle blows, we'll be there to react to Eagles Giants. So until then, he's out of here.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.